Our Savior Divine, we come before you this morning with hearts full of appreciation of your goodness, of your mercy, of your cares, of your protection, of your guardians, of your blessings, of your healings, of answers to prayers. All these are proof that you are living. You are God that hears. Lord, I can speak to your people. Thank you all this show that you care for us. And we are grateful for your cares. Lord, we honor. Nobody cares the way you care. And we are grateful. Even a nursing mother does not care as much as you do. And we are grateful to you. We commit ourselves to you this morning, having spared our lives to see another beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, we pray that you cause the blessings you have in store for us today, Lord, to be our portion, that none of us will be denied of the blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your grace come down. Lord, because without your grace, there is nothing we can do. Lord, we are so needy of this grace. In every area of our needs, this is what we need. And we ask, good gracious Lord, that you look upon us with mercy. That be anything in our lives that the enemy can point to. Father, we pray that you will forgive us. Your blood that cannot lose its power. Until the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more, may continue to speak better things on our behalf to the glory of your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for seeing us through this past week. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us in this past week. We are grateful. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, that you be with your people everywhere they are gathered. And that, Lord, at the end of the entire service of the day, Lord, you will have blessed us and all the glory and honor will have been yours. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. As we welcome ourselves to the house of the Lord for Sunday school, opening our Bible to Revelation chapter 1, read as usual. Our text for the Sunday school lesson. We read from verse 16 to 20, and then we read chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 1 of Revelation from verse 16 to 20. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Chapter 3, verse 14. Read from verse 1 and from verse 14. Verse 14 alone. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Please let us be seated. We welcome ourselves to the house of the Lord this morning. I'll thank the Lord for his faithfulness, his cares, his
grace and his blessings. So far the Lord has saved us. That should be on the 19th. That was the last Sunday that we took the Sunday school. And then we were looking at John Wesley, who is the messenger to the Church of Philadelphia, deceased church age. So the topic of the Sunday school, as a way of reminding us, the background to the revelation of the seven seals. God bless you. Wesley. We're speaking about Wesley. So let me wrap the matter of Wesley up with this part that we have here. And then we'll move on to the messenger of the age. Remember, we have been looking at the messengers of the seven church ages because they have something to do with the revelation of the seven seals that are before us for consideration. And we feel that it is important that we do a little exposition of who they are and how they were identified, by the messenger of this age, William Abraham, so that by the time we move into the revelation of the seven seals, then it will be easy for us when we make references to some of these things. God bless you. And so we have looked at the first messenger, since that it's been about 3 weeks now. I think this should be, there have been two Sundays past, isn't it? Yes, since we met last. There have been two Sundays that have been absent. I was there on the 19th, so the Sunday following, and today. So it's been 4 weeks now. God bless you. So, Rapport was the first messenger, and it was his life that God directed the prophet to use as the standard for the rest of their messengers that will come. And we have established that. The criteria that God brought out from the life of Paul has been the yardstick that we have been used, that program is used to identify the other messengers. And we are now on the sixth. So we are concluding on the sixth. Then we are moving to the messenger, the seventh messenger. Praise be to God. Now, Abraham says here that Wesley was a remarkably strong man. Seven Church Age book. Just search for those few words. Wesley was a remarkably, strong man. You will get it. Since it does not have paragraphs, nor a page on the folio. Yeah, that's good. Was remarkably strong man. He says of himself that he could not remember to have felt lowness of spirit for even a quarter hour since he was born. He slept no more than 6 hours a day. Arose in time to start preaching at 5 practically every day of his ministry, preaching up to 4 times on a single day, so that in a year he will average over 800 sermons. He traveled multiple thousands of miles, as did his circuit riders, who carried the gospel near and far. In fact, Wesley traveled 4,500 miles per year by horse. Remember, he was the messenger to that age. He was specially endowed to do that. He was a believer in the power of God, and he prayed for the sick with great faith and wonderful results. Many of his meetings saw the manifestation of spiritual gifts. Now, Wesley was not in favor of organization. It is important that the prophet mention this because this is a major criterion. Out of the three, Paul was an organized man. He had no leader outside of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Here, organization has started. Roman Catholic Church has existed. Some other churches, Lutherans have started. This is Wesley, the sixth church age. So Wesleyan movement had existed. They had denominated, and then God moved on. And then he came to the sixth church age, and he picked John Wesley. Picking John Wesley, he moved on with John Wesley. So that is why we are considering this John Wesley. Sorry. I made a mistake. I put my data on. So it's responding to some things. Sorry. So he was not in favor of organization. And we know what organization is. According to the message, it is the replacement of the leadership of the Holy Spirit with the leadership of men. And leadership of the Holy Spirit is expressed majorly by the word. Where the word is set aside and human ideas and opinions, human's theology, human's creed took the place. The word of God was not considered to be the absolute. They took the ideas and opinion, their status as the absolute. Whatever the Jehovah said, that's the final. Whether it is scriptural or not scriptural. Whether God was leading this guy towards this direction, if the GO wanted him to go south, and in fact he was being led to the north, if he was to remain with them, he has to go south, according to the order of the general overseer, or the order of the Pope. So he was not in favor of that. So his association did have a united society who were a company of men having the form and seeking the power of godliness, united in order to pray together, to receive the word of exhortation, and to watch over one another in love, that they may help each other to work out their salvation. The only condition of those entering was they should be of those who had a desire to flee from the wrath to come and to be saved from their sin. As time went on, they worked out a strict set of rules to be used in self-discipline for the good of their souls. Wesley recognized that after his death, the movement would be organized and the Spirit of God lift them to death form. That's why they are called Methodists. Methods. They came up with methods of worship, and the rest of it. That's why they are called Methodists. He once remarked that he did not fear that the name of Methodist would leave the earth, but that the Spirit might take his flight. He saw it ahead of time. He wasn't in favor of organization. In other words, he didn't give a chance. He did not accept the proposition of leaving the Word of God and then taking the leadership of men. During his lifetime, he could have acquired vast wealth, but he did not. His favorite saying on the subject of money was, "Get all you can, save all you can, and give all you can." How strange it would be for Wesley to come back and see the denomination that bears the name of Methodist today. They are rich, vastly rich. But the life and power of John Wesley is missing. It should also be mentioned that Wesley never did desire to build a work upon a denominational or sectarian basis. You see it? Because what is denomination? Subtraction. An addition to God's word. When the word of God is subtracted, human views are added. And the prophet said that is the mystery of death. Subtraction and addition to God's word brings death to the people that feed on such you know, denominational doctrines. And that's why we are called out of those denominations to come out of them, because they are full of their ideas and views. The way they start this money is out of order. The Church of God, the Bride of Jesus Christ, as of today, is being set in order. How we enter the church, how our services are conducted. That is why we don't imitate the denomination. They could conduct their programs. We already have the Word of God for the way our services go. Though appealing their pattern, their system might be, just like the system of the world appealed to the children of Israel, and they left God's order of being their king, and they requested to have a king over them, and it landed them into problem. God told them the manner of king they were going to have. When Samuel was crying, that, oh, how could you be saying, God told Samuel, I said, it's not you they rejected, I'm their king. I'm the one that they have rejected. They don't want me as their king. I then go and tell them the manner of king that they are going to have. Because it was something God's design for Israel to be ruled by any other. It was theocracy. Ruled by God. Not monarchical system. That was God established for them. It was theocracy. The leadership of divine being, which is God in the light of the Bible. That was what God established for them. God was to tell the prophet, tell them to do this, tell them to do this, tell them to do this. But when they were looking outside, they saw they were attracted by those things. Just like many of our children are attracted by denominations today. There's nothing there. See, we that you see today, we came from those places. You know, they are just full of fantasies. They are full of noise. And no substance. We don't deny that healings, miracles happen in their midst. The Bible does not say it will not happen. The Bible confirms that it will happen. But that is not the yardstick to confirm whether they belong to God or not. Remember, Balaam prophesied about Israel. In fact, what Balaam said about Israel is still coming to pass today. But he was the first prophet. In the light of what he taught the children of Israel, the teaching, he taught them to participate in idolatry, which God commanded Israel never to participate in. And by that, he brought wrath of God upon Israel because they participated. You know how many people died? But eventually, the children of Israel killed Balaam in the battle. You remember that? They killed him. And Jesus Christ referred to him, Balaam, in this course of the teaching we are looking at, which Balaam taught the children of Israel. Error, teaching, doctrine of Balaam, and which is idolatry. Rejecting God's word and accepting creed. Balaamism, denominationalism, organizationalism. Everything from the pit of hell. But I rejoice in today. We are not deriding them. But what we are making you to understand is that God, the prophet made us to understand that the journey of the children of Israel parallels our journey today. Just like they walk under Exodus, the first Exodus, the pillar of fire, the presence of God with a prophet and with a token, those three things that God did in their midst by that time, the prophet said he gave them token as an assurance that, look, the death angel is not going to strike your home. You get them the prophet because he will speak to them by the prophet. And the pillar of fire was above them to guide them day and night. That was not where the pillar of fire guided them that they never overcame. He was directing them. He never led them into a problem. If they enter into a problem, he solved the problem for them. He will lead them into trial. He will lead them into testing. He will bring them out. To know what was in them. The same thing we are passing through today. And so we see them full of attractions and the rest of it. Now this year, that's where we are. And the prophet said in the sermon, just one more time, Lord. Brabham said, you don't believe that the church is blind? The prophet said, the church is blind. The denominational churches are blind. He said, Laodicean church, it says it. He said, because we are in Laodicea. He said, if you are in Laodicea, it means that these denominations are blind. Not only blind, they are naked, wretched, and they do not know. If somebody is naked and doesn't know that he's naked, and you say, oh, come back, why are you going out naked? And I said, who told you I'm naked? I'm wearing clothes. You know that something is wrong here. And somebody is blind and they're telling you that he can see, and you see he's going towards the ditch, and you're telling that you are going towards the ditch, leave me, I can see. That's the condition of the denomination. Father just told me. God just told me. God just told me. I'm even talking about the individuals among them. And the Spirit of God just told me. And look at what the Spirit of God told them. Compared with the scripture, it's million miles apart. Then I will tell the guy, I say, now look at what you said God told you. It's contrary to the Bible. Will the Holy Spirit be telling you contrary to the Bible? Is the Holy Spirit not the Word of God made spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Word of God made spirit written in our heart. To fulfill Jeremiah chapter 31. According to Hebrews chapter 9, from chapter 9 to 10. In fulfillment of that prophecy of Jeremiah. A new look, I will write my laws in the tables of their heart. They will not need anyone to teach them. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. And you will tell us that God told you this. And then when you look at the Bible, it's contrary. And now I wonder, the prophet told us that the Word of God is what a Christian uses to measure his life or her life. What a Christian does, what he says, they are all measured by the message of the hour, which is interpretation of the Bible. Praise be to God. Yeah, it should be mentioned, it should also be mentioned that Wesley never did desire to build a work upon a denominational or sectarian basis. Though he was an Arminian in his beliefs, he did not want to separate himself from brethren on the grounds of doctrine. He worked on unity. You see, he was a good candidate for James. He based his eternal life on faith and works, or the living of the life, rather than simply accepting a creed or a doctrinal statement. John Wesley died at the age of 88, having served God as a few men who dare to even think in their mind. Praise be to God. Then we'll move on to Laodicean Church. Will you come to Laodicean Church? I doubt very much, as I was starting statement, for Laodicean. Now, the man who had been used of the Lord to identify the other messengers of the past six ages is now the one that is before us. How did he identify the seventh church messenger? How? The same principle. And you say, you cannot mark your own script. How can he determine himself? He was not the one that determined he was the messenger. He wasn't the one that determined his messenger. But may I ask simply that when John the Baptist was here, did John the Baptist know his ministry? Did John the Baptist know the ministry he was born to fulfill? If he knew, let me see your hand up. And we, by what we have read in the message, John the Baptist never went to any school. How did he know? How did he know that he was born as the voice of one crying in the wilderness? In Isaiah chapter 40. When they came to him and asked him, are you the prophet? Are you the Messiah? Are you this? Are you that? Are you that? He told them, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a liar. I'm none of those things. But I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. To say that he was not the liars, the prophet placed it that he was correct. Because the liar that is to come is not going to restore all things, according to Matthew chapter 17, which Jesus Christ referred to after the month transfiguration experience. Are you with me?
John the Baptist was not lying to have denied. It wasn't the Messiah, it was correct. It wasn't the Elijah that they were thinking about. But it was the Elijah written in Malachi chapter 4. As identified by the angel that visited his father. And that is Luke chapter 1, verse 17. I think I should be correct. Luke chapter 1. If that's not correct, we look at it. Let me read from verse 11. We are looking at the Laodicean church age messenger. I mean, we are talking about him. We are not looking for him. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. That was Zechariah in the temple doing the service, his own portion. So, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy like gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. You see, he shall call his name John. His name was already given. All right? And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. That's verse 15. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. Verse 17. And he shall go before him. That I-H-I-M is God. He shall go before him. Shall go before God, shall go before the Messiah in the spirit. You know, Jesus Christ said, Behold, I send my messenger before me. Okay? I send my messenger before me. That me there, I, me, is talking about the Messiah, our God that came in the flesh. And here, in that verse 17, before him there is also the same thing that is in Malachi, that is written there, that behold, I send my messenger before my face. Okay? I send my messenger. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. What will he do? To turn the acts of the fathers to the children and disobedience to the wisdom of the just. So he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. That was why he said he was not Elijah, but he was coming in the spirit and Elijah. He didn't thought he was the physical Elijah. No. But he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. That's why the prophet told us that God uses that spirit of Elijah 5 times. First time on Elijah himself, then a double portion of it on Elisha. Then on John the Baptist, making third. Then in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5b. 5a rather. Let us have it. Okay, let's look at this and then we move forward. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Send you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. What did we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 17? And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. To do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17. That was John the Baptist. That was John the Baptist. As spoken by Malachi. Over 700 years before John the Baptist was born. Malachi had already spoken that. Then you see the second part is what belonged to this time. Because a single person could not have lived in one dispense in two different dispensations. Because he's not God. John the Baptist lived when Jesus Christ came, was to come here. He introduced Jesus. And that same spirit of Elijah will come upon another person that will also prepare the way for the Lord, making the people ready for the coming of Jesus Christ for rapture. And that's why this place, the second part applies. And the heart of the children to their father. The prophet said, scriptures have compound meaning. Scriptures have compound meaning. This scripture has compound meaning. Two people are to fulfill the content of this chapter 6. Two people. John the Baptist and William Marion Branham. The seventh church age messenger to the Laodicea. Though their names are not written there, but that does not negate the fact that they are the ones. So we came to this point to say, how did John the Baptist identify his ministry? How? He was filled with his mother's womb. He was filled with the Holy Spirit right from his mother's womb. The Spirit guided him rightly. And because he was chosen to prepare the way of the Lord, when they were asking him, he directed them to the scripture that was to be fulfilled. Oh, you will say, he didn't say, I am Malachi, verse this and this. But he referred to what they needed for that time. Are you with me? He referred to them to what the scripture says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, chapter 40 of Isaiah. Let's have it.
Chapter 40, verse, I think it's verse 3 thereabouts. Comfort ye, my people, said your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John identified himself as that. And by the connections of the scripture, we know it was Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5a. Where he fulfilled, chapter 4, verse 6a. He fulfilled the 6a, according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 17. Are you with me? He was the fulfiller of that, by the scripture. By what the angel told the father, he fulfilled the A part of Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Because it's a compound scripture. John the Baptist fulfilled the part of it. The angel that told the father did not go to the second part. Just like our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 8 did not go to the second part in Isaiah chapter when he was making reference to Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So he moved forward until he got to the point that he was to fulfill for that day. And he left the other part. So the prophet says scripture has compound meaning. The prophet says he left the other part because he is not fulfilling that part for that time. And when he had read that part and he presented, when we make reference to the scripture, refer to it. Okay? Luke chapter 8. After reading the part that belonged to him, the Bible says, and he closed the scroll and he gave back to the priest and he sat down and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hands. You are witnesses of it. So scripture have compound meaning. So God has placed his word here and he takes the Holy Spirit to direct the person he has ordained to that age to identify the parties to play. Because if God has ordained somebody to do a major work in an age, he directs them to recognize it. And that's what we saw in Wesley. Though they were not prophets,
That was why they could not identify many things, and God left the identification of those things to the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, then the mystery of God should be finished. And that is why today we know who the messenger of the first church to this age. That's why we are able to know that. The Lord bless you. By God's grace, another time, God sparing our lives, we continue. We are on the messenger to the seventh church age. God bless you.
Shall we pray? Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the week that has just ended, your grace that kept us throughout the week, your protection and your care that we enjoy throughout the week, the daily provisions of our needs, the services and the blessings. We are very grateful. Thank you for bringing us together this morning again, Lord, the beginning of another week. Thank you for a portion of your word that has just been expounded unto us. Lord Jesus, we cannot appreciate you enough for the star messenger that you have brought unto us, a prophet of God. For that is how the Bible was written. The Bible says, holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. You sent a messenger, a prophet to us, and you are giving him perfect interpretation of the scriptures. And that is why you told him to store the message for the bride we have need of it. A portion, O God, has been served unto us again this morning. We pray that your spirit will give us as individuals revelation, understanding of these things, O God, that we have just said. May the meaning of them, O God, never elude any of us. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Replenish your servant that you have used, where we look forward unto you for more of your blessings in the meetings that are ahead of us. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.